huh?
But what do you want to
know? He wants me.
He wants the house. He don't want it. But for our freedom, we're going to fight together. Now, you don't want freedom, we're going to make you want freedom tonight. We're going to tell the world that the freedom train is coming. There's no sense we understand that the freedom train is coming. There are a lot of people outside that don't come in here tonight. Yes, sir, the iPad's by that place, and I wish you all saw the freedom train. As the freedom train is coming, sir, I want to know more about the freedom train. Can you tell me anything about it, sir? Will there be a bond that's on this train? Will there be any
historical site last night and we couldn't get in stuff. At 1:30 this afternoon, if you wish, I got a call on the Pox service embarrassed by the fact that they couldn't let us in. So they said I had to call. So at 1:30 you can go to the ground again if you want. And go through the house. Yes?
Well, we're going on a tour.
Right. But
will the tour be able to coordinate?
The tour, the official tour, you will be doing it. But if this is for those people who went last night, who is not going on the official tour.
The official tour will get the same tour inside that they're going
to
do.
Better. Yes. No, John, the official tour is like 22 stops.
The official tour does not send 22.
Right. The official said you're going to have like 20-some stops, okay?
But you don't get off.
Oh, you don't get off.
No. We talk to the tour director. You do not get off at any of the stops. You just drive. It's a drive-by.
She spoke over your t-shirts.
I don't think that's accurate.
That's what he told her.
Because they just... I just got off the phone with the woman for the group that went last night, and you got the official tour people is at 1 o'clock.
And where do we meet? Where do we meet for that?
The bus will be out front.
For the official tour.
For the official tour.
Could you relay the information about the tour? I think what Maria was saying. Will the tour stop very long at the?
I don't know the length of time. But I know. That's going to be some walking around, and there will be stops. People will be stopping.
At 1:30.
Okay.
Because the official tour is going to get a spot for the other city.
Oh, gracious and loving Lord, we gather this morning giving thanks that you have given us one more day, giving you thanks for bringing us together once again. Oh God, we know that you are in the midst of everything. So we, your children, just give you thanks. Good night.
Our reading this morning is from the book of Joshua, chapter 6, and I'll be reading verses 7, 8, 10, and 20. And he said unto the people, pass on, and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord, and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then shall ye shout. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass, when the people heard the sound of the trumpets, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city.
Can we stand and sing our freedom? Who won the pitch? I can't sing. My congregation used to say to me, pastor, stand back from the mic.
Quarters in Camden, Alabama. He was going to be here with us today. He is on bed rest. He's going to be fine. But he went on to go first to Tougaloo and then became an ordained minister at Colgate and got his PhD and is a religious studies emeritus professor at Vanderbilt. And we've become very close friends over the past 10 years. And he I'm going to read a couple of things from one of his books that is really excellent. You know, I myself am Jewish, and I'm very moved by his editing of these prayers that's called Thou, Dear God.
and he edits these short prayers that particularly are touching to me. I'll just read two of them, and I deliberately chose ones that are interdenominational or non-denominational. And then I'm going to read his memory of hearing Dr. King preach when he was 60 years old. So this is about, you know, 5 to 7 minutes here. This is a prayer that King gave at the end of a talk he gave called Civilization's Great Need in 1949. So most of us were, you know, 2 or 3 years old. Some of us weren't born yet. But it was while he was serving with his father, A.D. King, at the Ebenezer here. And he hints at the early concern he had for elimination of racism. So this is King's prayer. And in my faith tradition, we don't bow our heads. You just look up and smile at whatever spirit you feel. Eternal God, out of whose mind this great cosmic universe, we bless you. Help us to seek that which is high, noble, and good. Help us in the moment of difficult decision. Help us to work with renewed vigor for a warless world, a better distribution of wealth, and a brotherhood that transcends race or color. Dr. King was preaching about distribution, better distribution of wealth in 1949. The other prayer of King, also a short one, is for nonviolence, and he said this prayer at the end of an address for non-aggression procedures to interracial harmony at the American Baptist Assembly at Green Lake, Wisconsin, at a conference in 1956. And he prayed that all blacks and all freedom-loving people would remain committed to nonviolence, because he knew we were already deep in this period of violence that had occurred. So this is once again King's words. And God grant that we will continue to move on all men of goodwill, and all those who are confronted with oppression in this world will move with this method of nonviolence, not with the method of violence, not with any method of retaliatory violence, not with any means that seeks to retaliate, but the method that seeks to redeem. And I personally found King's words inspiring when I was a kid, like you guys were, and I still do. And then I'll conclude by just a couple paragraphs. Dr. King came to Wilcox County, where I was stationed during the war, often because he was a classmate with our most prominent local leader, Reverend Thomas Threadgill. And so he came and stayed at his house. And that was one reason our county was so, so active and organized. He didn't come during that summer because, as you know, he went to Chicago. But this is just a little intro, and then Lewis's memory. Without a doubt, the Wilcox County freedom fight, from start to finish, was homegrown and locally led. Oppressive racism, coupled with firm faith in justice, fueled the movement year after year. Outside civil rights workers came and went. John Lewis, Bernard and Colia Lafayette, and many others were noted, but no one inspired the community and validated their struggle like Dr. Martin Luther King. Lewis Baldwin, who I'm so sorry can't tell this story himself, but asked me to on his behalf, vividly recalled a talk in early 1965 during which Dr. King exhorted a large crowd standing outside Antioch Baptist Church to keep on working on voter registration in spite of unrelenting attacks on potential registrants and demonstrators. And these are King's words that Lewis remembered at age 16 and that really inspired him to go on to become a King scholar. And he said this is what he felt that King said to the common people. Don't let anybody make you feel you don't count. You may be poor. You may not have had the opportunity to rise to great academic heights. You may not know the difference between your do's and your don'ts. Your does and your don'ts. You may not have the opportunities that many other people have, but I want you to know you are somebody and that you are as good as any white person in Wilcox County. You've got to believe that. Lewis and his brother David were in the back of the crowd, but what they remembered from King's message was, you are somebody
And you matter in this world. You matter to God, and He is on our side.
Somebody want to pitch? We woke up this morning with our mind on freedom.
Selena's mind on freedom, okay? Or did you not me, baby? You can't be yourself. All right. Oh, I woke up this morning with my mind. Selena.
Sail on freedom. I woke up this morning and John.
Sail on freedom. Oh, I woke up this morning with my mind.
Stay on freedom, all God's children of mine. Stay on freedom, all God's children of mine.
my book. Oh, my goodness sake.
So I have offered to bring a different note that I think grows well out of this spirit and helps us grow into it. And that's the spirit of Quaker worship, which is the tradition that I've adopted. We friends call it being convinced of the truth. So, in this tradition, in this practice, let us listen to the silence. Take our time. The still small voice speaks out of the silence. And if I'm busy making noise, I may miss it. And in this tradition, we are listening for that voice. It may touch any of us at any time. I'll stand here for a few minutes. It may be that I'll be touched with a message. It may be that a message will come to one of you. Listen. Is that something that's just for you to hear for yourself? Or something for all of us? We feel that everyone can access this energy, this love, this sacred power. And if you feel that message, stand, speak, don't be afraid, and then sit down. And everyone will take a few moments after that, before anyone else speaks, if anyone else is moved to speak, to consider the message that you've brought. We have a tradition as friends to walk cheerfully over the earth, answering that of God in everyone, that of God, inner light, that which is sacred, however you conceive that. And answering means finding the key to touch it, answering in a 17th century sense of the word. As a key fits a lock. I think what comes to me this morning are the words of Bayard Rustin, who was a Quaker. Speak truth to power. That means speaking without fear. And saying, my piece of the truth, whatever that may be. God knows it isn't easy. And so my prayer, I guess, would be that I may be unafraid to do that, and that all of us here who have engaged in that may continue to do so. So I will allow some silence for anyone else who has a message, a brief message. Just stand where you are, not to come up to the podium.
Charleston, South Carolina, is flooded. One of my long-term girlfriends is a Pennsylvania Quaker, and she taught me so much about giving. So I asked the congregation to pray for the residents of Charleston.
As the granddaughter or one of the granddaughters of civil rights veterans, I stand to just ask God's blessings upon your lives for your sacrifice many years ago. And I ask for a continued abundance of love to continue to flow, that we can rid this country of racism.
Speak up.
I'm Arkansas, and my time associated with Scope was in Marengo County, and I got disappeared several times. And one person who found me in jail and got me out at midnight on my 21st birthday was Jimmy Collier, the great folk singer who used to travel. He's not doing well, and I would like to have prayers for Jimmy Collier in California. He couldn't make it here, and I haven't seen him since the night he got me out of jail 50 years ago. And also, the other end of that same night, Silas Norman saved my life, and I just found out yesterday that he had died in July. And I just want to thank y'all for letting me be here. I've been to maybe 10 or 15 of this kind of things, and 100 or so conferences in my life, and mostly I've been outside, out on the wings, or sitting in my car, or found somebody that can give me a place. But here I got to actually be in a hotel. And it's about the nicest I've ever been treated in my whole life by a group of folks, especially mostly white folks. And I just thank you dearly for letting me be part of this again, and the freedom struggle that we all put our lives on the line for. The battle goes ever onward. As Stokely Carmichael wrote to me in our last communication, and John Lewis always said, struggle is eternal. The struggle for human dignity. And thank you.
So let us remember, as our friend has said, those who are not with us this morning because they have passed from this life or because they can't be here. But remember also that we are all connected. And that can keep us in this struggle in a way that is loving, affirming, and touches that sacred spirit within all of us.
Bruce.
Can people hear me in the back? There's a story written in the Talmud about a class that Rabbi Tarfon taught in Jerusalem almost 2,000 years ago. This class took place a couple of decades after the death of Jesus. And among the students in the class were both Jews and Christians. The topic of the class was what the gentleman back there mentioned, Tikkun Olam, which is Hebrew for heal the world or repair the world. Heal the world of poverty and sickness and injustice and tyranny. Now, at the time this class took place, their world was in a world of hurt. The Jewish rebellion against Rome had been crushed. Jerusalem had fallen. The streets had ran red with the blood of the slaughtered. The Temple of Solomon had been destroyed. Hundreds of thousands of Jews and Christians were being dragged off into slavery. Tens of thousands of those Jewish and Christian slaves were being murdered in the Colosseum for the entertainment of the mob. And we here in this room have some experience with mobs. The lesson that Rabbi Tarfon told his students is, it is not given to you to avoid the task of Tikkun Olam. It is not given to you to shirk the task of healing the world, but neither is it given to you to complete the task. You are not going to see the healing of all of the world's ills, but that does not mean that you are free of the obligation to do what you can to heal those ills. 300 years later, a rabbi whose name I can't recall, was teaching a class in Alexandria. And of course, this was Alexandria, Egypt, not Alexandria, Virginia. And his class was studying what Rabbi Tarfon had taught. And a student said, Rabbi, look at all of the misery and pain and suffering in the world, all of the injustice and oppression and misery, what can one person do? What can I do? What can anyone do? And the rabbi said, you do not measure your contribution against the totality of the task. You measure your contribution against the totality of your life. Because no single individual, no matter how great, their contribution is going to be infinitesimal when measured against the totality of the misery and suffering that needs to be alleviated. So you don't measure your contribution on the basis of what you achieved in terms of healing the world. You measure your contribution against the totality of your life. That tikkun olam, healing the world, social justice, can play no part in your life, or a small part in your life, or it can be a major thing throughout your life, or you can dedicate your life to tikkun olam. The people in this room are people who have made tikkun olam a major part of your life. And in that measurement, you stand tall.
I would just like to take a few minutes. After I finish, we're going to have one more song, and then the rib is going to come forth and dismiss us.
Lead a closing circle.
Long ago, God spoke. Long ago, God spoke. I believe that God spoke in the 20th century. I believe that God spoke to Martin Luther King. I believe that God spoke to Ralph David Abernathy. I believe that God spoke to you. And that is why you came south, because you heard the voice of God. And I believe that God is still speaking in the 21st century. But the question is whether we're listening or not. God is still speaking. God is still calling us forward. When we look back at Joseph, God spoke to him. He heard. He prepared himself. He became disciplined. And he led his people to freedom. And we need to look back on our lives. What we did long years ago. We did something in this country that hadn't been done. Because you heard God's voice, the people of Alabama began to shout. The people of Mississippi began to sing new tunes. The people of Georgia began to pray a little bit louder because you had given them voice, a voice that they never had before. Even though they had heard God and believed in the power of God, there was still fear that they had to overcome. And because of you, they put their fears aside. They trusted in God like they never trusted God before. They trusted you like they never trusted
anyone before. They put their lives in your hand. They followed you because you said, come and let's go. It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy for Joshua either. He marched. He marched around and around the city. He prepared his people to put their fear aside as well. Brothers and sisters, whether you believe in God or not, it doesn't matter. You heard somebody. You heard some voice. Whether it was Buddha or whoever. You heard the voice and you responded. You was willing to sacrifice everything. And you should be proud of what you did. You should be proud and honored to sit in those stinking jails. And for those of you who shed your blood, you should be thankful. One of the things that we forgot to do yesterday, and it's my fault, that we didn't mention Vowel the Loser yesterday. But somebody in the middle of the night realized that we didn't mention this courageous woman. And he got up in the middle of the night and came downstairs and went to the copy machine and printed this out. I would like to thank my brother for doing that. Because usually in all of my speeches and all of my preaching, I mention this woman. This mother of five children that she left behind because she heard God speaking to her. And because she heard God speaking to her, she responded and came to Selma to help free people. Because she heard the voice of God, she came to be with her brothers and sisters to walk with them. But on a lonely highway at night, because she was white, she had to die. Because she was white, she had to die. Because she was from Michigan, she had to die. Because she dared to have a young black man in the car next to her. And that couldn't be tolerated. And Vowel the Loser is probably more responsible for the Voting Rights Act than anybody else. Because of her death, people began to raise their voice and begin to say, this can't happen. Because of her death, President of the United States began to say, we shall overcome. So we must honor her. Because she gave it all. She gave it all. We may have been scarred, but she's no longer. She was no longer able to hold her kids in her arms. Her kids had to grow up all alone without the love of a mother. Because she wanted her brothers and sisters to be free. And she was willing to give her life. My brothers and sisters, we may be old, but we still have work to do. We may be old, we may be slower, but we must look back to Abraham and Sarah, because they was old too. But they heard the voice of God. They sat at attention and listened to the voice of God. And because they listened, brothers and sisters, we became all saints, all tribes, because they dared to listen to the voice of God. Abraham said, I'm too old. And Sarah laughed. When God said, I'm going to give you a child. But they listened. And they dared to march, to fight on, to keep hoping. And because of them, brothers and sisters, we're here. Because of them. And whatever God you believed in, you're here. Because of those who listened to the voice of God a long time ago. You must be, take a moment and feel blessed that you have gray hair, that you can still walk, that you can still cry out in the middle of the night seeking freedom and justice. You must be proud of yourself. You must tell your story everywhere you go. Brothers and sisters, in closing, we still have some walls that need to tumble down. There are some walls that need to come down, and we are more equipped than anybody else to help bring those walls down. So, brothers and sisters, I pray that you won't let age get in the way of freedom and dignity. Because God is still speaking. God is still calling. And that is why you came south 50 years ago. In whatever form, you may have to come back again. Because they are denying our brothers and sisters the opportunity to vote in dignity. So, brothers and sisters, we are leaving here this week, rededicating ourselves, recommitting ourselves to do what we can to make life better for others. We leave in here this week pledging that we're going to reconstitute scope once again and let our voices be heard and pass the wisdom on to a new generation. God is still speaking. Even today. May God bless you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. For our closing circle, of course, if at all possible, we'd actually like to have a circle. And I think we can do this because you have all been places before. If you move, you know, if you're on that island, you move a few chairs out so that we can actually be in a circle. And I will just tell you briefly, what we'd like to do is to finish what we had tried to start yesterday, and my group got to do it, which is each person gets to say, a highlight for me was, and this is like a one short sentence, because we want to have this completion of the experience. And Bruce and I have done this with 100 people, and we've done it in 20 minutes, so I know you can do this. And then we'll sing We Shall Overcome, and I know a lot of you need to check out and catch hotels. So the first thing is to organize yourself, as many people as possible come up here, and that'll make for the first half of the circle, and then move some chairs to make the rest of it, and we'll just come to you.
It's fine to sit. But we have to be all around the
Okay, as quickly as you can, so everybody has a chance to speak before people have to start leaving. just move some chairs out of the way and make a circle. Okay, some of you have the concept.
Come on down.
We have room for more people up here. Just come up. Just come up. Come up. Bring the circle up. We have room for more. Yeah, here we go.
We can't get back.
Okay. All right.
Love you guys.
Okay. And if you need to sit down and make that part of the circle. You don't have to stand up. We want to adapt to everybody. Okay?
You're so liberal.
Yeah, that'd be me. All righty, folks. So I'm going to model this so that we can do this and then sing a couple verses if we shall overcome. And we don't have to do the crossing right now if you don't want to. You may if you wish to. Okay, so this weekend, a highlight for me.
Okay.
And we will be listening to each other respectfully. This weekend, a highlight for me was everybody exposing their vulnerability in a way that really touched me. And I'm leaving here with a feeling of gratitude. So, a highlight and what you're leaving with.
Oh gosh, seeing the whole companions in a flood of memories.
Highlight for me was getting to meet a bunch of really neat folks. I was going to say the same thing. Many new friends.
The highlight for me was the willingness of people to go deep and bring their battle scars to the surface.
And the highlight for me was reconnecting with parts of myself, of my past, that had receded as a way of renewing my strength and my commitment to the work that we began and undertook 50 years ago.
A highlight for me is each one of you and your place in sharing, the acceptance you offer, and the love and compassion that's in this room, and the commitment. Thank you.
I would just like to mention that we mourn those who are no longer with us, but because we remember them, their spirit is still with us. We use them to inspire us, so they are still doing good, even though they're physically gone.
Highlight for me was a rousing freedom sermon I just heard.
The joy that felt out of sadness, out of excitement, out of determination, and the joy to go on no matter what the cost. And in each community, we have a cost. We're going back to relive and to rejoin and to invigorate that cause why we came in the first place.
A highlight for me is, with more than 100 people here, more than 5,000 years of activist service since we were in SCOA. And I hope to see all of you at the 100th.
How many years will it take till we know that too many people have died?
I think reconnection, as well as a continuum upon which our deduction is not ending.
I guess what I appreciated the most was people willing to share what happened for them and to them while they were on their trips down to the South has not left them in terms of the what I call ministries, which they have continued to do since then.
Yeah, in a similar vein, a highlight for me is seeing this group realize the still have to do, and the value that we still have in this struggle, and the commitment that I've heard from people who want to continue to reconstitute this group, that's an inspiration and a highlight for me.
For me, the highlight has been the appreciation that we have shown for each other and what a important part 50 years ago was for all of us in our lives.
Highlight for me was meeting the people here, and I also want to express gratitude toward the people who organized all of this.
The highlight for me was reconnecting with old friends, meeting some new friends, and finding out that I have histories with other people that cross paths with people that I didn't know that they knew until we got here and started talking, like with Arkansas. Jimmy Colley originally was from Chicago, and he was head of the NAACP youth organization when I was with CORE, and they voted to participate in the Chicago Board of Education sentence with us. But the thing that I'm really excited about is that some of us guys still have the fire in our gut.
Yes.
Yes. The first thing I thought about after the request for a highlight was Richard Smiley talking about how the fact that scope workers, it was the first time in his life he had been with white people who had treated him and what an impact that had on the rest of his life, which said to me, probably 50% of what we did was just showing up.
Yeah. Well, a highlight for me is being one of the youngest people in the room and being in the presence of civil rights veterans, and I leave away inspired, understanding how to fight and who I have to persuade the people in the middle. Okay.
Your comments yesterday were very.
Thank you.
The highlight for me is meeting all you guys, most of you, for the first time, because I missed the second year of orientation. I went out recruiting, and I missed most of the summer and all of the fall for being in a lot of jails. And learning what went on in other counties, I was only in Marengo, and there wasn't any communication back and forth. Right next door in Wilcox, I learned from Maria what had gone on there, and the connection with Joe and Bruce, and being able to just to come here and celebrate and compassionate.
Your highlight for me is that more understanding of the historic significance of the civil rights movement. In that sense, also more understanding of my husband.
God knows I need it.
The highlight for me is being able to touch your sincerity, braveness, and real frenzy.
The highlight for me was seeing the faces of all the people we found. Last 10 months I've been like going on a vast Easter egg. Every time I found an egg, I said, "Oh, we found another one." And now, as you said, now I get to crack open the egg and see what's inside.
Well, 50 years ago, I went to returned to a faraway corner of the countryside. Yeah, haven't been back over those 50 years, but so I carried the fire on to other struggles for those 50 years. But it's good to be back with people I never worked with, but realize the struggle was going on all around me the same way, and all the victories we have accomplished. Yeah.
It's hard for me to
say.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, yes, yes.
The most highlight for me is just being here among everyone, meeting everyone, because 50 years ago, I wasn't even born. I just turned 50. And just to meet all the veterans that all for us to be where we are today is such a blessing.
And again, it's kind of hard for me to categorize any one thing that's a highlight, because I have, ever since I found out about this reunion, I have been waiting to see Joe Frank. I've been waiting to see Bruce, and I couldn't believe it when I saw him. But the one thing is that I knew them. I didn't know you. And so I guess the best thing in the world that I could say is that I thank you so much for just leading the way for me and giving me the courage. Because coming out of Grenada, Mississippi, we were basically in a ball that nobody ever penetrated. Even news didn't always penetrate. And when I said to my mom, I'm going to demonstrate with Dr. King, and she said, don't go and get arrested. And I said, I don't know. I have to do what I got to do. And that's the way I see all of us. We have to do what we have to do, because God does call us, and I believe that also.
A highlight for me, and I was 12 when I became involved in the civil rights movement, is the fact that people led parallel lives after 1965, being involved in a variety of struggles. And I think coming together for the 50th reunion provides us with an opportunity to be re-energized and to work collectively on the variety of issues that we still have to face.
My highlight was actually getting to mark something off my wife's bucket list. Drive down to Fort Valley and meet the infamous Willie Sneed, taught a white girl from Minnesota how to sing and clap at the same time. And see some of the places, the movie theater they integrated down there, and meet some of the people that actually lived in the town. So that was it.
The highlight for me is to reconnect and to hear the stories of all the people. Like, I was just so focused on our group in Fort Valley, but to hear the stories of all other people and how everyone dedicated their lives, and we came back with so much more, and we've carried that, what we learned and what we saw and what we experienced and touched. We carried that back with us and threaded it through all of our lives, and it meant so much to all of us. And I think I felt all alone in that. Now I don't feel all alone in that at all anymore.
A highlight for me was seeing all of you together and hearing what you had to say and seeing how excited you were about talking about 50 years ago, but how inspired you are still about social justice and changing the world and getting inspired myself. Okay, highlight for me.
Wait.
Okay.
God, I hate technology.
I'm trying to get over it without the
modern technology. The highlight for me was realizing that I'm still part of a big circle. And all these people, we still all exist. And we're all still working in different ways than what we started with 50 years ago.
A highlight for me was getting that letter from Joe about a year ago. And getting going on telling my story with a little help from her and from the Marshfield Community TV, and you inspired me to keep going on it and broaden what I have to say about what a lot of you did.
Hello everybody, how you doing? Highlight for me in my quick 20 minutes being in the back of the room is really I'm here, you know, because of a lot of the work that you all have done. I wasn't there. I wasn't even thought of. But my grandmother, Gwen Green, she was there. So a lot of the things that I've been able to do in my life come because of people in this room, people in other rooms, you know, and the work that you've done. And I appreciate it being, you know, the youngest person in here. But, you know, a lot of people in my generation might not understand the scope of work that you all have been able to do to help us. But coming from that generation, I want to say thank you. Thank you again.
We need you.
Well, the highlight is for me to be here.
Yeah.
For us too. I guess I'm the oldest one here, and I know I'm the oldest one in the civil rights movement in this room because I've been fighting for freedom for 85 years. Ever since I was 5 years old, my grandfather came in Oakland, California, had a petition campaign to force a gentleman that was just elected to be a district attorney, and he didn't want a colored lady to be his secretary. So they took, my grandfather took me out, and we went from door to door, and we were successful. And I think you all be surprised when I tell you who that gentleman was. Earl Warren.
No.
He's come from the United States back then. But he of course, he's green. But I'm also very happy to be here, but I'm sad to think that we have to go back to face what we have to face because we have so much unfinished business. I mean, we're going backwards, and it's really sad. And we can't do like we did, but all I can say is that everybody should go back. If you don't only touch one person, they've got to go out and vote.
Amen.
And God bless you all. I hope you have a safe trip back.
Okay. The highlight for me is just being here. Being surrounded by everyone in this room, and I want to thank you for everything you did back then during the Civil Rights Movement, even though I was just 1 year old, but I'm so grateful and thankful to be here. Just a whole handful of screen is a highlight for me.
I guess the biggest highlight for me is just being in the midst of history makers, in the midst of brave folks who were young enough to say, I don't care what anyone says, I'm going to be here, I'm going to go and make a difference. I think most importantly, I know this is my cousin, we're a month apart in birthdays. And so we stand on your shoulders. And we know and understand what we have to do to continue the freedom movement. And I also want to be grateful for Maria Gittin, who through our families, we got connected somehow through this amazing journey. And when something is meant to be, it happens. And all of this was meant to be. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, the highlight for me was reconnecting with people I had worked with in Selma and Crenshaw County and Grenada, Mississippi. And once again, as has been the case with every reunion, Freedom Movement reunion I've attended, reaffirming for me how blessed and how privileged we were to be part of something that still burns bright 50 years on.
Right. Somebody else? Harky.
Oh. Hey, somebody.
Here, I'll hold
it.
On
this. Now you need to come over here.
A highlight for me, and my thanks for Joe and for John, when I get the invitation, I had just come back and had met a number of the people in SCLC, Bernard Lafayette, John Lewis, Andrew Young. I went all the way up to Ithaca to visit Dorothy Cotton. I did not have the money to come. And my head said, you don't do it. It costs too much. My heart said, I want to be there more than anything else. So this went on with this struggle, and I prayed and I prayed, and then I got a dream. I had a real dream. I was busy what I was 50 years ago as an evangelist for the movie with a tape recorder, but this time it was a video recorder. And when I woke up, I called Joe up, John up, and I said, can I exchange making videos for some money for my expenses? And it wasn't until a couple of days before I had to buy my ticket that I got the news in the middle of the night that they would pay part of my expenses. So my joy of being here, and my prayer is all these tapes will become a part of the living history so this story can go on. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you all. May God bless you.
Thank you. And that was a perfect cue up to one small...
One more. That caller just got was from Charles Bonner in California.
Oh.
And if it wasn't for Charles and people like him, places like Wilcox would not have been what they were.
That's true.
So he's called...
He's in the circle.
To join the circle.
Yeah. Thank you.
One more. I heard from Gene Billingsley that Gwen was here. So I asked Bruce a little while ago, have you seen Gwen? Have you seen Gwen? No, he hadn't seen Gwen. So now my head says, if she's in Atlanta, I'm going to find her. I don't care. Hi, Gwen.
Hi. What's your name again?
Cookie.
Oh, Lord, yes.
Hey. Oh, yeah. I am good. I am so good.
All right. I love this. This is great. And a lot of you have to get out of here. So we must move forward. I have one announcement to make before we sing three verses that we shall overcome, because I don't want people to have to break the circle. The announcement is that FDL, please listen. The announcement is that SCLC did not provide the sponsorship that Reverend Reynolds believed that the board was going to provide. So he has put many, many expenses on his credit card, and your registration does not cover them. We are not going to do a church-style offering. We're not going to even look at it. But I can tell you roughly, if you each put down a $20 bill on the table, if you can, and if you cannot, don't. And we're not going to do it as part of the ceremony because this is not appropriate for this environment. But if you are able, as you leave the room, to put a $20 bill on the table, he will personally be very, very grateful.
My wife will be even more grateful.
And that's, can we get some more people up so we can close the circle? Okay. We'll do We Shall Overcome, We Shall...
Cookie.
We'll go.
Cookie.
Okay, I can't run.
Come in there.
Closer.
We shall And I made a commitment to God that I will bring you here, no matter what. And I want to thank you for responding. And I have a new call to keep us connected, keep us together. So my brothers and sisters, go out into the world, spreading your gospel of love, peace, and hope. And may God bless you and hold you in a loving, his or her loving arms. Amen.
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 I have one announcement.
Yeah.
Everybody's keeping somebody impressing me about what's going to happen when I'm recording.